Book of Matthew, and we are talking about rest and coming to Jesus to lay aside our burdens and this heaviness. But before we get into all of that, in verses 20 through 24, Jesus is giving a warning and judgment to the cities in which he performed these miraculous, mighty works that he's done. And he's not happy because he is like, I performed all these mighty works and you all have not repented. You have not come back to me. You've seen me do all of these things, yet you haven't repented. And so he says, Sidon and Tyre and, you know, these cities will be less judged. They'll be better off. And Sodom will be better off than Chorazo, Bethesda, and Capernaum, because those three cities didn't repent when they saw all the mighty works. And so here he is, and he goes straight to the Father, and he says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for not revealing the things to those smart intellectual people who are scribes and Pharisees, and they know the law back and forth, like the back of their hand. Thank you for not revealing the things of you to them. But thank you, Lord, for revealing them to the ones who are not necessarily the greatest scholars. Those who, you know, maybe don't know everything. And so he was so grateful in that, in these verses. And if you think about it, the disciples were not scholars. They were tax collectors and fishermen and all the things, yet they knew Jesus. And so the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the law, but they didn't have relationship with Jesus. And so he's thanking God for this, and he's telling his Father that I'm so thankful for that. But y'all, we have to see that some people are so intellectually understanding God and, you know, the legalism and all these different things. We understand him intellectually, but we put him in a box. We don't allow ourselves to experience the supernatural spiritual relationship that we can have with him, because we know the word of God, but do you have relationship? And so Jesus is so passionate about people seeing, like, I've done all this work, y'all. I've done all this and you're still not repenting. And I think about our world today, and we've seen Jesus do these mighty works. I know in our own lives, he's done some mighty works in mine. He's healed, he's blessed, he's honored, he's lifted up. Even the bad things that I went through worked out for my good. That is a miracle. And so I know if he did it for me, he did it for all of us. And so if we have seen all these mighty works, what keeps us from repentance? What keeps us from coming back to him and saying, Lord, I give you all of me? Why do we struggle with going back to him? And so as I'm preparing for this and I'm thinking about all of the people that I've known that have come along the way, and the really smart people that, you know, can quote scripture out of every single book of the Bible. And I'm like, man, like, I don't know where that one is. But they don't have no relationship. It's empty. And so he's inviting us to come to him. And that's the title of my message, Come to Me. He wants all of us, every single one of us. And so that was verses 25 and 26. So as we move on to 27, it says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. That's a lot, but all he's basically doing is he's revealing who he is. And so as we get ready to talk about going into his rest, the first thing that we have to know and understand is that going into his rest, we have to understand the revelation of who he is. We have to know that there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. We have to understand and know that we can't just, there are certain things that we can't do as believers because it contradicts the word of God. You know what those things are for yourself, so we don't have to talk about all that. But when we reflect on ourselves and we see what God is trying to do in our lives, we have to remember that Jesus says this as a confirmation that the only way, there's only one way, not two, not three. I can't go around the backside, but there's only one, and that's to say yes to Jesus, to believe that he went to the cross, to believe that he died on that cross, and to believe that he rose 3 days later. And the only way, it's not Allah, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And to enter into that rest, we have to have that revelation, but we don't get that revelation unless we have relationship. We don't get relationship unless we sit with him. We don't get relationship unless we read the word. We don't get relationship unless we worship. The more time that you spend with somebody, the more that relationship grows. So I'm sure you wouldn't marry your spouse that you don't really know, right? You're not going to marry somebody you just met 2 days ago. Although me and my husband got married within like 8 months, but but we knew each other before. And so I knew him, right? But then when we came back together, reconnected, relationship, and guess how we grew closer together through the Lord? First month we fasted and we sought the Lord. And so sitting with God, being in his presence, grows that relationship exponentially. Fasting, right? All of the things that we are called to do according to the word of God brings us to closer relationship. The scribes and the Pharisees, they fasted just because that's what they were supposed to do. It was like checking off a box. And how many of us have been there where we're just checking off a box? I've been there praying just because I know I'm supposed to, you know, reading my word because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. But getting into the depth of the word, right? Getting into the depth of worship. That's what breeds relationship with Christ. And he's waiting for each and every one of us. And so we've got to just remember and know that as we get ready to, when he asks us to come to him, all who are weary, right? All who need rest. When we're coming to him, there has to be a revelation. We've got to be able to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so the last time that I preached, I talked about how we needed, the harvest was plenty, right? The harvest was plenty, but the laborers were few. And so when we're talking about those of us who labor and who are trying to push forth the kingdom of God and are walking in our journey and our purpose, we get tired, right? We get to a point to where we are exhausted sometimes because we're fighting against this battle with the devil who is trying to take every person in this world with them through homosexuality, transgender, all this stuff, alcoholism, drugs. He is on a rampage in this world. And we're trying to labor, you know, to pour into these people and to bring them back to Christ. And so we need rest. And so that's what this is about. It's like, We're going against spiritual legalism. We're going against churches who unfortunately may not be preaching the actual word of God. And we're all a part of the body of Christ, but we've got to help push the mission to the kingdom. And so Jesus is telling us that we can rest in him. And so In verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is an invitation. He's inviting us to come to him. And when he invites us, y'all, we may be weary. We may be burdened. We might be carrying things that we feel like we can carry alone. But he's saying, don't. I don't want you to. He said, come to me, those who are weary, those who are heavy laden. Anybody tired? Anybody carrying something heavy? What are you carrying? Are we carrying our children? The burden of them falling away, siblings falling away from Christ. That's a heavy burden. I got two of mine, my siblings. That's a heavy burden. But God said, Tiara, you don't have to carry that. Yoke up with me because my burden is easy and my burden is light. Maybe some of us are holding on to our childhood and things that happened to in our childhood. Maybe some of us are going through a court case. Maybe some of us are fighting in the natural at work. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we have grief. God, y'all, there is so many things that we could be struggling with. Addictions. It's okay. He said, come to me. We don't need to be ashamed of the things that we're carrying, the things that we're struggling with. My marriage is, you know, it's not great. It's okay if that's you. You don't have to carry that by yourself. And so he directed this call to those who are burdened, and he called those who sensed that they must come to him to relieve their need instead of living in self-sufficiency. We don't have to do this on our own. He doesn't want us to. There is relief in the Spirit. I don't know about y'all, but I felt it here today. When we worship and like spirits and kindred spirits come together, there is a release in the Spirit. There's a release in this space. And so when we come here, I'm relieved that the Holy Spirit has taken that burden off of me. Some of us show up here tired, but it's like once we get through worship and we get through that word, you feel like you can jump off a building. You know what I mean? Like you get this spark and this empowerment. That's the Spirit. That's what he's calling us to. And so he invites us to come to him, and he does not draw us away. He always says, come. I can't find a place in the Bible where it says for him to go away unless it's to go out and preach to all the world. Any other time, it's come to me. He told Peter when he was on the water to come. Trust me. Get out of that boat. And so when we falter and our faith fails, he's still right there, y'all. Even if we can't feel him, if we can't see him, he's still there. And then we go into verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the exchange. So what he's saying is, if you could just exchange, like, give me your stuff and let me give you my yoke. Let's do a trade here so that I can walk this thing out with you. And so in David Goose's commentary, it says, we must come as disciples to learn. We are like disciples. We have to come to him to learn, willing to be guided by his yoke, not merely to receive something. So we're not going to him to receive. We're going to him so that we can walk this walk out easy and smoothly. And so the yoke of Jesus is easy and light compared with the yoke of others. Have you ever yoked up with somebody that it was a burden and it was hard? Jesus is easier. That yoke is easier. The yoke of Jesus is easy and light as long as we do not rebel against it. How many times do we try to go against his will? It's not easy. It's a struggle, y'all. I know, and I'm just like, you know what? This can't be God, because this is too hard. And I'm seeking the Lord, and it's hard. No. It should be easy. It should be smooth. The yoke of Jesus has nothing to do with the worries that are forbidden to us. We are told not to worry. Do not worry. Aren't you greater than the birds of the air? He will take care of us, and he will allow us to rest in that. The yoke of Jesus does not include the burdens we choose to add to it. So typically, y'all, sometimes we add our own stuff. And he's like, nah, like, you're putting more on yourself than I even allowed to come your way. We make it more difficult sometimes. And so he's pleading with us that, you know, as I reveal my nature to you, I am meek and lowly in heart. Trust me. He wants to comfort us in that. He wants us to sit with him, to lay on his chest like he's our father, and just rest in him. And if you need to cry, you cry. And you get it out and you do what you need to do. And then you move on. And you allow him to take that upon him, because that's what he died for. So we got to get to a point to where we leave everything at his throne and we turn around and we walk away and we don't run back to pick it up because he's taking too long. Use the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, which is patience. Use it and wait, because he's working even when you cannot see it. And so we have got to continue, y'all, to understand that. And verse 30 says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke is easy because he bears it with us. If it were borne alone, it might be unbearable, but with Jesus, it can be easy and light. So back in the day, when training a new animal to plow, the ancient farmers often yoked it to an older, stronger, more experienced animal who bore the burden and guided the young animal through the learning process. Some of us may be new to this walk with Christ. Some of us may have been walking it for a long time. But either way, we're still not anything compared to Jesus, right? And so if Jesus is that big animal that's trying to train us little animals, we're in training. He's teaching us. He's showing us. He's modeled for us how we walk this life out. Any problem you have is in the book, promise you. There's scripture to back it up. But if Jesus is that animal and we are the little animal, just know and understand that the yoke that was made, so it used to be made out of wood, right? And the yoke was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and not gall the neck of the beast, right? And so what's the most interesting thing is it was tailor-made. Know what that means? Tailor-made, it was specifically made for that particular animal. Somebody ought to shout. Because Jesus, the big animal, he tailor-makes the gall for each and every one of us. My husband is 6'5". I'm 5'3.5". Our yoke is not the same. It's tailor-made. It is tailor-made according to me. He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what each and every person in here, we're different sizes and all the things and how we walk is all different, but it's tailor-made, y'all, just for us. Ooh, that ought to do something to you. And so there is a yoke to bear and a burden to carry. But with Jesus, y'all, it's easy and it's light. And it's easy because we enter into discipleship relationship with him. We come to him surrendered. We come to him in worship. We come to him in prayer. We come to him fully dependent on him. And it isn't his yoke or burden, and you are not. So if here's the thing. So if the burden and if the burden is heavy, right, and the yoke is hard, if that's what's happening, there's two things that could be happening. We either have it yoked up with Jesus, or we're in the wrong position. Like, we're in the wrong place. So we either haven't given it over to the Lord, or we're in the wrong place. And so when we know that we have yoked up with Jesus and we have given everything over to him and we've fully surrendered it all, it should be easy. It should be smooth. And so if you've ever been in a place, relationships, I don't know why I keep coming back to relationships, but if you've ever been in that place where it was hard, I know I've experienced being in a hard place, and it's like, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm trusting God, I'm doing all these things, but it still was hard. It wasn't for me, right? I was in the wrong place. And God made that evident and showed that. And so with each and every one of us, reflect on your own life. Think about what you're going through. When we enter into his rest, he has this promise for us that when we yoke up with him, that he will give us rest for our souls. That is a gift for us who believe, is rest. And the storms will come, challenges will arise, but there is a peace that remains in that. So even though I'm going through a lot, I have rest. Even though I can't see through this storm, whew, I have rest. And so, y'all, rest is steady. It's constant. And that's how Jesus was. He was steady and he was constant. And he walks alongside us. And he's like, when he takes a step, you take a step. He told me, Tierra, when I move, you move. And I was like, okay, right? When I say move, you move. Obedience, hear his voice, but you got to be in relationship. So rest is knowing who he is. And when we know who he is, we can trust his invitation to come to him. And when we can trust his invitation to come to him, we can accept his yoke and experience his rest. And so his invitation continues to remain, come to me. Not religion, right? Not performance. I've gotten caught up in performance, trying to perform and trying to make sure that I am doing the works right. When all he said is abide in me, rest in me, Tierra, and I'll do the rest. And so his invitation to all of you when it comes to life, life is not easy. It wasn't easy for Christ. He even asked, you know, Father, take this cup from me in Gethsemane. But immediately he said, not my will, but yours. He was in rest, knowing that he was about to walk to Calvary, that he was going to be betrayed, that he was going to be beaten halfway to death, that he was going to carry this cross all the way to this mountain, and that he was going to be nailed. Stake nails, right? Nailed to the cross. And he was at rest. And so if he can do that, and his spirit is in each and every one of us, then what we go through and the things that we are trying to fight through each and every day, whatever battles we're having within our minds and in our hearts and with our families or whoever it is, you can rest in it. Because of the spirit that dwells within you, the spirit that dwells around you. But you got to accept the invitation. He said, come to me. And so I leave that invitation with you from Christ himself to lay aside your labor and heavy laden things and remember the mighty works that he's done in our lives. Come to repentance and come into full rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you as you have asked, God, in prayer. And we've come to ask you, Lord, to help us to rest in you in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of the battles that we fight each and every day, Lord God, the inward battles, Lord, the things of our past that we're still working through, Lord, the current things that are happening in our lives that we don't know how to navigate. We ask that you would help us to yoke up with you, Jesus. And like you said, God, when you take a step, that we would take a step. When you move, that we would move. That it would be easy. We won't be fighting with it, but we'll be saying yes every step of the way. And so, Lord God, we come to you now. We lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our minds to you. We lift up our surrender, postured hearts to you, oh God. And we ask that you would help us to learn how to rest through the process. So, Lord, you have your way. Let your will be done as we leave this place on today. I pray that this word would go forth, that they would carry it throughout their week, and that they would apply and allow the revelation to come. And Lord, help us to remember the mighty works that you have done, not only in the Bible, God, but in our own lives. And help those who need to come to repentance, all of us to come to repentance to you, Lord, and to leave it at your feet, Jesus. Lord, we honor you and we lift up your holy and righteous name. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray and ask these things. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much. Give God a praise for the word this morning. Thank you. And that beautiful reminder that we do not have to carry the load. And I needed to hear that this morning, because we try to take on too much, you know, in this world. And he bled and he died for all those things. So we don't have to carry those things. We don't have to carry that weight. And so I just thank my sister this morning for reminding us all of that, just to come to him. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Such a blessing to see all of you. Just want to remind you to support the ministry. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please be obedient to what God has called you to in your giving this morning. Amen. If you just bow with me, I'll pray us out. Lord, we just thank you again for your word this morning. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you that you have made yourself available for us to come to you, Lord God. And we just ask that you help us, Father, to continue to press forward into you and your will for our life, God, and just keep that reminder on our hearts this entire week, Lord God, this month, if need be, just to remind us to come to you, Lord God, to lay it down, to connect and yoke with you, Lord God, instead of the things that we desire and the things of this world. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering to meet all the needs of this ministry and bless those that are obedient to what you've called them to give. Watch over us, Lord God, in this weather, and just protect us all as we travel home. And let us find our homes as we left them. We thank you, Lord God, for all your blessings and going before us during this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.